Got to the class. Everyone was doing their last minute studying. The teacher came in and said he would do some review before the test. Most of his review came from the study guide, though some came from the book. When people questioned about it, he said, the information in the book you're responsible for, so you need to know that. Finally, it was time to take the test. The professor said, leave the test face down on the desk until everyone has one, then I'll let you start. When the class turned over the test, to everyone's astonishment, every answer on the test was filled in. Our names were even written on the exam in red ink. The bottom of the last page says, this is the end of the exam. All the answers on your tests are correct. You'll receive an A on the final exam. The reason you passed the test is because the creator of the test took it for you. All the work you did to prepare for this test did not help you get an A. You just experienced grace. The professor then went around the room and asked each student individually, what is your grade? Did you deserve the grade you received? How much did all your studying for this exam help you achieve your grade? Then he said, some things you learn from lectures, some things you learn from research, but some things you can only learn from experience. You've just experienced grace. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your name is written down in a book, and you had nothing to do with it being written there. That is the ultimate experience of grace, that Jesus put our name in that book because of what he did for us. Turn with me to Matthew 20, if you would. Matthew 20. I like this opening story because it has a great meaning behind it. But this story may seem a little unfair to people. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, that's a little unfair. I'm sure there are two different kinds of people in this class. Those who studied hard for the test and those who didn't study very hard. I imagine some people studied all week for this test. I'm sure they studied for 10, 15, 20 hours for this final exam. While there are others who probably put in 10, maybe 15 minutes of study time. But they all received the same grade. This doesn't sound fair to the people who put in all this hard work. Well, Jesus tells us a parable along these lines. Sometimes Jesus' teachings seem really challenging and hard to live up to. And at times, like in today's passage, his teachings may seem a little unfair to us as we look at it. But let's look at Matthew 20, 1 through 16. Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So then those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who has hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Well, the first thing I want to see today, God does not treat us as we deserve. God does not treat us as we deserve. Look at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. This would have been a typical scene back in Bible days. Just like we have employment agencies today where maybe you can get a temporary job for the day. This is what they did. Laborers would seek in the marketplace looking for a job for that day. Many people worked one day on a job and they had no idea if they would work again tomorrow or not. So they gather each morning at the marketplace before dawn in hopes of being hired again to go out and work that day. In this story, the landowner hires some laborers to go work at 6 a.m. in the morning. So picture this, 6 a.m. in the morning, he goes out and they worked all day until 6 p.m. at night. 12-hour day work. While others were hired at 9 a.m. Others were hired at noon. Others at 3 o'clock. And finally, some were hired at 5 o'clock. And they only worked till 6 o'clock. They only worked an hour. When the men went to receive their pay, they all received the same amount, a denarius, a day's wages. Because of human nature, we can imagine how the laborers who worked all day felt as the workers got paid one denarius. Again, their natural thought must have been, the owner gave them $50, so if they only worked 1 hour, we must be getting about $500, okay? We're going to get a lot of money for this. However, their hopes were dashed when they received the same pay. Who in their right mind pays someone who has only worked 1 hour the same as he who pays someone who has done the same job for 12 hours? You know, we may be thinking to ourselves right now, I think God got this one wrong. Look, let me tell you about my experience. And again, do you hear that word experience? My experience. Let me tell you about my experience. And let me share about my experience that we're talking about that. When I was younger, I worked in the fields. And I pulled weeds for my dad, who was a farmer. I can tell you from experience that I would be just as upset as these first people hired in this passage. I am not a morning person, so getting up early in the morning was not something I liked to do. But I would get up at 5:30 in the morning so I could start at 6 o'clock. Start at 6 o'clock because I would get paid more money than if I slept in till 11 a.m. Early in the morning, the beans and the corn were wet because of the dew. So you're walking through the corn and the beans and it's just, oh, yucky. You know, you're just feeling gross because of the dew. Then by 1 p.m., you're just roasting, and you wish that there was dew on the leaves then. You know, I could not imagine if I went through a long day of working out in the fields like I did, and someone came out and worked 1 hour, and they got paid the same amount as me, I think I might be upset as well. Many of us identify with the employees who put in a full day's work. But let's not. God dispenses gifts, not wages. This is a wage that we want from God. The Bible tells us what our wage is already figured out for us. If we want to be rewarded for our merit, if we want to be compensated for our work, I got cheated, you all. Being the youngest was hard. Yeah. I hardly owned anything new. Not even a new toothbrush. You got the hand-me-downs. You know, I always look at, wow, this football looks a lot like my brother's. It was exactly like my brother's. This shirt looks exactly like his. Well, it was exactly his. I don't want you to feel sorry for me and attack my mom about this, but for being unfair. Just wanted you to see the experiences I had growing up. I always got the hand-me-downs. But the thing is, if you ask my siblings, they would say that they were not treated fair. They didn't get to drive to school. They always had to ride the school bus. But when I got older, I got to drive to school. They never got to go out with their friends as much as I did. And blah, 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 blah. They had other things to say as well. They would say many other things. We all have our own reasons for thinking that we were not treated fairly compared to other people. It's not fair. I'm sure you probably heard that from your kids a time or two, huh? It's not fair. It's not fair, she always goes first. It's not fair, he always gets more. It's not fair, he never gets into trouble. And it's not just your little kids that do that, it's your teenage kids that do it as well. It's not fair, Susie's parents let her stay out all late. It's not fair, all the guys are going to the party, even as adults. It's not fair, Bob got a raise and I didn't. It's not fair, Jane got a promotion, she hasn't been at the company as long as I've been at the company. It's not fair. I'm sure we've heard that. If you want God to work on the fair scale, you need to remember that you would not be getting a better deal. God gives us the better deal with what he gives us through grace. Psalms 103, 10 through 12. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That's what we deserve. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. He paid off my sin debt completely. He paid off your sin debt completely if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. I shouldn't care if your sin debt was a little bit more than mine and yours completely got wiped off. All I care about is my sin debt was completely taken care of. That's what it should be. We want grace for ourselves, but we don't always give it to others. Grace applied to us always seems good and always seems fitting and nice and right. But grace given to others, frankly, can disturb us at times because they feel like they're getting more grace than us. It's unfair. I did more. I gave more. I should get more. Why should everyone get equal pay for unequal work? Well, let me tell you about a story in Canada, about a family in Canada. When the apples ripened, Mom would sit all seven of them down, including the husband, for them to peel apples. They peel apples and put them in the canning jars. She never bothered keeping track of how many we did, although the younger ones obviously did a lot less than the older kids did. But when the job was done, the reward for everyone was the same: the largest chocolate dip cone money could buy. A stickler might argue that it's quite unfair, since the older ones actually peeled more apples. They should have got a cone plus something else. But I can't remember anyone complaining about it. A family understands it operates under a different set of norms in a courtroom. In fact, when the store ran out of ice cream, my brother had to make do with a popsicle. We felt sorry for him despite his lack of productivity. God wants all his children to enjoy the complete fullness of eternal life. No true child of God wants it any other way. We should want to see other people receive eternal life. Even if they didn't live for God their whole life, we want to see them have eternal life. Well, the second thing here is eternal life is not based on length of service. Eternal life is not based on length of service. The workers in the field were paid because they showed up to work, not for how long they worked. We think we are so much better than others who have not lived their whole life for God or have not gone to church as many times as we've gone to church. But we must really see that the Bible says about all our righteous acts that we've done in our lives. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Our years of service to God doesn't impress Him. He treasures our service and sacrifice, but it adds nothing to our salvation. Here is the truth. With grace, we are all on equal footing before God. If we are both covered by the grace of Christ, I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. You're no worse than I am, and I'm no worse than you are. People don't go to hell because of an accumulation of bad sins. Just think about this. If Adolf Hitler winds up in hell, it won't be because he killed 6 million Jews and then plunged the world into a bloody war that lasted over a half a decade. That's bad. But if he winds up in hell, the only reason is because he refused to humble himself before Jesus Christ and what he has done for him. There is no partiality in God's reward of eternal life. God's reward of eternal life is based on one thing only. Have you humbled yourself and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins through repentance? Heaven isn't the reward for long years of service, like a gold watch, a retirement after 30 years of serving a company. Hell isn't the reward for a lifetime of bad deeds. Heaven is the reward for believing that Jesus saved your soul by grace, despite what you've done. Hell is the reward for not believing that Jesus can save your soul by His grace. No matter how many good deeds you have done in your life, if you haven't surrendered to Christ, you are not going to heaven. For those who have been faithful for so many years, there is joy in living a faithful life. Not everyone has had this opportunity. For those who have come to faith later in life, God's grace is no less wonderful. They only regret the early years that they lived, that they weren't a part of God's people. They forfeited the peace and comfort of having God in their life before that. The parable teaches a very simple yet profound lesson that God, the landowner, gives grace, forgiveness, salvation to anyone who answers His call, no matter when in life they answer His call. All believers who surrender their wills and dreams to the will of God will hear the most precious words that anyone could ever hear. Matthew 25:21. His master will reply, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." It doesn't matter how long you follow Jesus. All that matters is that you made the decision to follow Him. But there's a warning for people today. Some people say, "I will do it later in life. I'll do it later. I want to have fun. I want to party first and do all this. Then I'll turn my life over to God later in life." But you may never get that chance to do that. The thief on the cross knew the day he was going to die. But you don't know the day that you're going to die. God doesn't promise you tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to make it through the rest of today. Come to Him now, because later may be too late. It's dangerous to wait to make a decision for Christ. The longer that you walk in the ways of the world, the longer or the harder your heart becomes to the things of God. You become more and more satisfied with the world and become content with living with the here and the now. There needs to be a sense of urgency to make your life right with God. This is not an intellectual decision. This is not an emotional decision. This is a decision to bring your will under the control of His will. This is a life commitment that you are making. Well, the application for today. Let me go to the application. We need to help bring in the harvest. We need to help bring in the harvest. The landowner showed urgency to bring in the harvest. That is why he went out several times throughout the day to get more workers. In Palestine, the grape harvest ripens towards the end of September, just before the rains come in October. The harvest must be gathered before the rains come. Workers are desperately needed for to gathering in the harvest before the rain comes and the window of opportunity is gone. The landowner does not want to see his grapes rot on the vine. Jesus says in John 4:35, He says, "Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Jesus says the harvest is ready. Don't slack during harvest time. Tell people about Jesus. We have a lot of farmers in this area right now, in this area here in Indiana. You do not see farmers take 3 weeks vacation or a month vacation in September and October, nor in April. There's a major focus on getting out the harvest and bringing in the harvest. Farmers know what it is like to be in a hurry to get the crop in before it gets too late. Farmers do whatever it takes to bring in the harvest. Farmers do not want their crop to rot in the field. There is an urgency by the landowner, by God, to get in the harvest, the souls of men. He doesn't want the souls of men to rot in hell. 2 Peter 3:9 says God's desire. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is holding back the time of the coming of Jesus so more people will come to Him. Hopefully, people will come to Him before it's too late. He's waiting for you to respond to His invitation of salvation and to do His work in His field. The landowner went to the marketplace at 5 p.m. The workday is over at 6 p.m. And he found people there still wanting to work. The landowner asked them, "Why are you still standing here?" Verse 7 says, "Because no one has hired us." They were standing around waiting at the very end of the day, wanting to work, but they didn't know where. And I think to myself, there are people in our community wanting something, but they don't know what. They're waiting for someone to come along and tell them the gospel. Folks, we are in the last hour. We're in the last hour. We need to reach out and save as many people as we can. Again, God does the saving, but He uses us as His workers to do that work. I hope in the near future. I remember not too long ago, we had 10 baptisms. I look forward to that we do another 10 baptisms. I hope there's a real desire in you to see our baptistry full and lots of people making sold-out commitments to Jesus Christ. But Matthew 9:37-38 says, "Then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field.'" We need to pray that God will raise up more workers to work in His field. And we need to respond to work in His field ourselves. We need to be involved in God's kingdom and bringing in the harvest. I know way too many people that like to go to a church where they're not expected to do anything. All I have to do is come to church and sit on the pew. That's all it is. They go to church and be spoon-fed instead of going to a church that asks them to dig into the Word themselves. People say, I go to this or that church because I am entertained, or because they worship the way I like, or because they serve coffee and donuts. Well, let me tell you, church is not about coffee and donuts. Church is about God and meeting with Him, not getting a cup of coffee. You can do that at home. I have said this before. God's got this crazy idea that He thinks church is about Him. He thinks church is about Him. And yet we try to make it about us and what we want. People just go to church and watch. But God wants to use all of us to bring in the harvest around us. I'm sure Jesus were here today, He would share John 4:35, the harvest is ripe, it's ready. Look at our community. We need to go out and we need to share that with others. So at this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. It's going to be hymn number 479 if you want to follow along. It's Softly and Tenderly. As you leave here today, know that a day is coming when the work will be over. The landowner will call us all in. It doesn't matter if you've been working for Him for 50 years or you've been working for Him for a day. What matters is that you are working for Him when He comes. And we will receive the eternal life that He has promised. But don't wait any longer. If you have not received His Lordship, do that today. Because tomorrow may be too late for you. Maybe today is the day that you make the decision for the very first time. Or maybe you've received Him before, but you're not working for Him right now. You're not living for Him. You kind of got sidetracked. You are more concerned with worldly things than you are about doing the things of God and reaching out to the lost and bringing in the harvest. Maybe today you want to recommit your life and work for Him today. The altar is open for anyone who feels the tug of the Holy Spirit in their heart. Again, it's the 11th hour. Are we ready to finish well and be about and do His work? Let's stand and let's sing softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling.